This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress. For a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
You can have it all. Great pay, awesome benefits, a flexible schedule, the chance to grow. At Cox, we're recruiting auto and diesel technicians to join our Manheim and Fleet Services teams. If you're ready for a new job and want to experience an award-winning workplace, drive your career forward with us. Visit cox.career/autotech to learn more. That's cox.career/autotech.
This is The Joe Gaither Show on BamaCentral.com.
Good morning, Tuscaloosa. Good morning, Tuscaloosa, Internet World, West Alabama. How we doing today on a Friday? It's the first Friday of August. First day of August. It's August 1st. Everything changes for the Auburn Tigers today, according to Hugh Freeze. So we're going to talk and have a lot of fun on the Joe Gaither Show right here on Bama Central, BamaCentral.com. You guys hanging out with us on the Bama Central YouTube channel. You're listening to us on Spotify, Apple Podcast, Amazon. We appreciate everybody who has subscribed, rated, reviewed the show on your favorite platforms. You find us on the Bama Central YouTube Facebook page as well. And on my own social media machines, at Mason's social media machines, at MA Woods _ at Joe Gaither 6. We're going to have a lot of fun on a Friday edition of the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central. Before we get going, we want to let you know we are brought to you by our friend Derek Daniels State Farm. I am not in the studio today. We're still in parts unknown, but we want to encourage you to call Derek for all of your insurance needs. 205-758-3391. Like a good neighbor, Derek Daniels is there. Home insurance, life insurance, home life auto insurance. I'm about to update my auto insurance this weekend. Actually, praise the Lord. Thank the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm going to have to update my auto insurance this weekend. Woo-hoo. I'll be calling Derek Daniel to do so at 205-758-3391. I feel for you if you are moving this weekend or if you're moving next week from apartment to another apartment in Tuscaloosa. It's hot. But make sure you don't forget to get renter's insurance because the apartment complex is, you know, gonna cast all the liability on you. You want to make sure you have renter's insurance. Call Derek Daniel at 205-758-3391. He'll get you affordable renter's insurance. He'll protect your TV, your couch, everything, your bed, really everything that's in your apartment as you move from one apartment to another right there in Tuscaloosa. 205-758-3391. What are we going to get into today? We're going to hang out on a Friday. Look, yesterday we told you that we were going to have Sam Utu. I want to get you right off the bat. Sam ended up, we were on green lights until last night. He said, oh, I forgot. I have an appointment. And it's okay. That's what happens sometimes. And we're going to try to circle back and have Sam Utu on the program on another day, hopefully next week. And, you know, I just wanted to get that out front. If anybody was waiting on that today, he will not be joining us because he has another appointment. And plus, it was going to be, it's 6:45 in California. My man was going to wake up super early to be with us, which was highly appreciative. But I thought, wow, I don't think I would have done that as a high schooler. So
no, I certainly would not have. I was chronically late in high school.
So good on him. Hope his appointment goes well, and we'll try to circle back very, very, very soon. What we are going to do is introduce a game. We're going to play a game. We're going to talk about August 1st. We're going to talk about what we're seeing on social media, and we're going to have a little fun on a Friday. So find us on the comment section at Joe Gaither 6, at MA Woods _ at Bama Central. You can leave us a voicemail at 205-462-7340, extension 800. And let's have a fun Friday and get you into the first weekend of August. Mason Woods, we talked a lot about August 1st over the last few weeks. And you opened us up today by saying, hey, you seen all these recruits tweeting out official office. Here's my question, Mason.
if you're a recruit, I mean, you can get on social media and you can see all these recruits saying, oh, you know, Western Tech University sent me my official letter.
I think just this morning alone, I've seen Wake Forest, Texas, Georgia, Ohio State, and I'm probably a couple more.
I haven't seen it. I didn't see any Alabamas when I just
scrolled. No, I haven't seen Alabama yet.
Because we don't need to do that bleep.
Interesting, though, I haven't seen Auburn. You would think they would have been on top of this big time. You would have think they'd have had dozens of these ready to send out, but have not seen a single one yet.
Was this Hugh Freeze's strategy of saying, hey, on August 1st, when the official letters get sent out, there's going to be some committed recruits that don't get letters to their school, and they're going to be opened back up for recruitment. Billy four-star who's committed to Georgia, Billy five-star who's committed to Florida are going to be upset that they don't get their letter on day one, and we're going to come in and scoop in and get the flip and rise the recruiting rankings.
I think putting the entire weight of your 2026 recruiting class on the back of a 17-year-old making a life-altering decision is a great idea if you're Hugh Freeze.
Yikes.
It's just insane. I really, like, I cannot – the only explanation that I have is that Hugh Freeze is just trying to get fired so he can get this lovely buyout and be on his merry way. Because it does not appear that he is trying.
Well, you saw it. I mean, we didn't even talk about it on the show because camp was making us so busy over the last 2 days. And by the way, for those who are interested, Alabama football is off today. No football practice today. The boys get 2 days of acclimation period. They'll get today off. Now, today I'm sure they're going to be in the weight room lifting and watching film, this, that, and the other. Off as in no practice. And then tomorrow they're going to be back on the field reportedly with full pads. So they're going to be popping on Saturday for Mason Woods. But you're in the facility today. We didn't even talk about it because we were so busy. Hugh Freeze, what do you need in an SEC running back? Length and girth. He said, you got to have length and girth in this league.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That's a prime example of, I mean, yes, I will give him that in a football context. Those are things that you do need, and that makes sense in a football context when we're talking about body composition. But boy, that is a horrible quote to have out of context for Mr. Hugh Freeze, because that soundbite is going to be thrown back in his face and back into Auburn's fans' faces for the rest of this entire season and probably a lot further after that.
Yeah, to me, Mason, I think that it was Hugh Freeze. Let me see if I can pull it up here in just a little bit. I think it was Hugh Freeze. Basically, I think he was trying to be funny. I also think that, like, the only thing that I came up with, and I already texted this to a friend. He was like, "What the heck is this?" And I said, "What I think it is, Mason, is he was on." The 17th, he was on the 18th tee box, and he was losing to whoever he's playing with, and, you know, whatever money's on the line, $100, $500, $5,000, whatever, yeah. You know, they're playing for higher stakes than my $1 a hole bet. And I think that I said, "All right, Hugh, you're down 4 or 5 strokes here. You ain't gonna get it back. I'll let you out of this bet. I'll let you out of today's bet if you drop some funny comments in your next press conference."
I bet Lane Kiffin sent it in the SEC coach group text. He said, "Whichever coach can work this into a press conference, I'm giving you 10 grand." Oh, because yeah, there's no way. Look, we've made fun of Hugh Freeze on this program a lot. I think for pretty decent reasons. He's given us a fair amount of material over the last year and change. But there's just no way that he lacks that much self-awareness to not know what he was saying. He knew that was going to get clipped and that was going to be a funny, you know, sound bite for people to take out. He had to have known what he was saying.
"You need length and girth in this league. Length and girth in this league.
You couldn't have said you need like strength and speed, you know." I don't know.
Length
and girth in this league.
I think you need to put that on a t-shirt now.
Length and girth. But I don't know what graphic. Would it just be an Auburn running back?
I think it's got to be Hugh's face.
Oh, man. He had a lot of funny ones the other day.
He really had, over the last several months, really this whole summer, he's just been, he gets up to that podium and it's just like, I don't care, man, whatever. I'm just going to get up here and talk for a little bit.
To your point on trying to get fired, you know, he had basically revealed that he's got a prostate cancer going on. And his wife, my wife is trying all these, is making me do these, all these holistic remedies, healthy remedies, trying to like,
imagine that's enjoyable.
No. And to your point, is he just trying to get fired this year so he can go get recovered from cancer? And look, I don't wish that on anyone.
Absolutely.
Rivalry aside, that's not cool. That's not fun. That's not funny. There's nothing funny about that. At all, but I'm just trying to piece all the puzzle pieces together, and I don't know what's going on in Auburn, but with today being August 1st, I figured we needed to lead the show off. And by the way, you can hit me up for t-shirts. I'll be making more this week when I return to Tuscaloosa. I've got a list of about 5 or 6 people that have reached out to me, and so I will be making those and getting those sent out. So if you want one of these August 1st t-shirts, you're welcome to hit us up in the DMs. I almost hope that he ends up having a 9-win season. I pull for people, Mason. I pull for people to get it right, especially as a perennial screw up. I pull for people to figure it out and get things back on track. And so I'll just admit to you, if Auburn starts winning, you know, obviously I'm hoping that Alabama wins that Iron Bowl. But if Auburn starts winning, it'll be good for the league. It'll be good for Hugh. It'll be good for that rivalry. And I think it'll be and I will enjoy someone who has been the forward face of the jokes. Hey, myself included, we've been joking on you for the last 6 weeks, Hugh Freeze, for sure. I just don't see it. I just don't see a lot of wins, and I don't see a lot of recruiting victories ahead for you, Hugh Freeze.
No, I'm right there with you.
Girth in this league.
I do not see Auburn miraculously putting it together this year with what they have there. I think that team is still not very good. They do have some good wide receivers. I will give you that. I think people are being a little overzealous with their expectations for Eric Singleton, the transfer from Georgia Tech. You know, he was good, but wasn't a world beater last year. He was pretty, you know, he only had like 800 yards and like 40 some odd catches maybe, you know. So I just don't see it for this Auburn team. I would imagine they are probably going to top out at 7, maybe 8 wins, which is an improvement, I guess. You know, that gets you to a bowl game, and that's what Hugh Freeze is, you know, that's what he had said the goal was a while back. But I just don't see a ton of success for this Auburn team just because of the way everything has gone this offseason and just the way the team has looked the last 2 years.
Do you think that these comments, these kind of off-the-wall comments, are deflections and shields for, hey, I don't want to talk about Malcolm Simmons. I don't want to talk about Malcolm Simmons. Yes, I cleared him to practice after his domestic violence arrest. Now, look, I will say before we like dive into this aspect of the story that I have heard very mixed stories on this Malcolm Simmons, whether he has choked his girlfriend out, which is the common narrative, or if there was deeper stuff to it. Now, look, I'll say this right off the bat. Anti all domestic violence. Don't be hitting your ladies, and ladies, don't be hitting your men, and don't be beating your kids and whatever. You know, we stand against domestic violence, period, on this show. But I have heard the conflicting stories, so we'll say that as well. Do you think some of these comments, some of these just off-the-wall, colorful comments are a way to shield himself from questions or deflect from the story that, hey, I'm letting Malcolm Simmons back on the team or stay on the team?
I think that's certainly a possibility. I doubt he wants to talk about it because it is such a kind of seemingly at least weird kind of fluid situation. The information available to us right now is that the man was charged with domestic violence involving strangulation. So that's what I'm going to roll with until I am told otherwise.
Sure.
If it was me, he would not be playing for my football team currently. I don't think he'd be removed from the team until he was officially convicted of something, but you certainly would not be practicing right now. You would not be around my football team. I don't know. That's the way Hugh Freeze wants to do things. I think that Hugh Freeze has shown us throughout his career he does not really care much for the outside optics of himself, so he will probably continue to do this, and you know, we'll see what happens. I'm seeing here that his Malcolm Simmons, I guess, hearing was moved up 5 days from August 13th to August 8th, so we'll be getting an answer, I guess, one way or another at the end of this week, and we will see.
Yeah, I think I'm with you. I think that I would be playing in the innocent until presumed guilty, or until proven guilty, but buddy, you have access to the weight rooms and the meeting rooms. You don't have access to the practice field.
Mm-hmm.
Until we find out really what's actually happened.
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't there when it happened, but I'm inclined to believe that you may not have been charged with these things if they had not thought you did it. So
sure. sure. So we'll see what happens in Auburn. I'm not predicting a huge turnaround on the recruiting trail like John Cohen basically alluded to maybe 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, when they said, oh, things are going to change on August 1st. Unless the Auburn faithful, which that's the other part of this, I don't think the Auburn faithful, especially the powers that be, the money people, are backing Hugh with a lot of NIL, a lot of obviously you've got the rev share, great. Sure. You've got $16 to $18 million, depending on how Auburn wants to divide it up. But I'm not sure that Yellowwood. No, you're good. I'm not sure that Yellowwood is coming behind you saying, "Hey, I want Billy Forstar to do my next commercial."
And like even with that rev share, I mean, I don't know what was it. Was it at Media Days where he was talking about it, or even before that where he was talking about, you know, you got to consider the guys that we have to keep on the roster. That's really what it's about, is retention. And, you know, so I would imagine that they are using a large chunk of that revenue share for keeping players on the team rather than going to acquire new talent. So they probably don't have a ton of money available to them. So yeah, I'm with you. I am not seeing a dramatic shift in the future for the Auburn Tigers on the recruiting trail.
You need length and girth in this league.
I hope you go. How funny would it be if they just prove us all wrong? Go 10-2 this year.
10-2 with
loss. 10-2 with
Alabama.
Sure. And they're right on the cusp of the playoff, and it's Auburn. We're going next year. Next year's the year.
Deuce night.
Yep.
We'll see. All right, I think we burned this topic into the ground. Let's keep moving. Mason, let's introduce somewhat of a game here.
This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress. For a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
You can have it all. Great pay, awesome benefits, a flexible schedule, the chance to grow. At Cox, we're recruiting auto and diesel technicians to join our Manheim and Fleet Services teams. If you're ready for a new job and want to experience an award-winning workplace, drive your career forward with us. Visit cox.career/autotech to learn more. That's cox.career/autotech.
Time. It's always vanishing. The commute, the errands, the work functions, the meetings, selling your car. Unless you sell your car with Carvana. Get a real offer in minutes. Get it picked up from your door. Get paid on the spot. So fast, you'll wonder what the catch is. There isn't one. We just respect you and your time. Oh, you're still here? Move along now. Enjoy your day. Sell your car today.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
I want to start talking about individual players on Alabama's team, but there's just so many good ones. And let's play a game that I came up with on my drive to Parts Unknown. Let's play a game. I'm going to call it Upperclassman Roulette. Let's see. What does this sound work?
Whoa. Like that's right here in the room with me.
Is that too loud for you?
Oh, no, I heard it.
It's all right, good. Just making sure. I can slide it down about 10 notches if we need to. But I'm going to throw out some – I'm going to spin the wheel. I'm going to spin the wheel, and we'll see who it lands on. And, you know, obviously, you got all these upperclassmen – and we'll look through some upperclassmen that we haven't talked much about. Now, obviously, we did a lot of talking on Deontay Lawson. We've done a lot of talking on Ty Simpson. Is Ty technically an upperclassman because of – yeah, redshirt junior. So, right?
Yeah.
Not redshirt sophomore. That's the distinction, redshirt junior versus sophomore. No, he is a redshirt junior. We've done a lot of talking on Ty. We've done a lot of talking on several of these players, Caden Proctor at SEC Media Days. So they didn't make my wheel. I've got a wheel full. We did a lot of talking on Tim Keenan. I've got a wheel full of upperclassmen that we haven't talked much about. So I'm going to spin the wheel. And what I want you to do is just give me, you know, your 5, 10, 40 second, a minute and a half take on what these players are going to do this year for the Crimson Tide. Does that sound good?
Let's see what we got here.
And if you care about my opinion, you can ask me back. But I'm spinning the wheel, so we'll see. So first, here we go. You ready?
Let's see what we got.
First spin lands on Keon Sab, safety for the Crimson Tide. Hurt last year in the Tennessee game, he left it all on the field. Allegedly went into that Tennessee game with a minor foot injury and broke that sumbitch all the way off against the Vols. No, not really, but he did. That was a little strong. Yeah. He still had the foot. The foot stayed on his body, but
he was pretty broke though.
Broke the rest of his foot, gave it all for the Tide, recovered, and now is back for 2025.
Oh, man, it's kind of hard to project what we're going to get out of him this year. I mean, I certainly think, obviously, we will see a continuation of what he did in the early part of last season, where he was a very dynamic player on the field for Alabama. But it's hard to project because of just how good Bray Hubbard was stepping in last year. It's kind of hard to know how those reps are going to get divided up between everyone. I would imagine, I'm guessing those are probably your top two guys there, but you know, it's just kind of hard to say. I expect good things. I mean, I certainly expect him to have a bounce back year, expect him to be fully healthy, expect him to be, hopefully ready to go the full season. But it's just kind of hard to tell. I really like what we saw out of him last year. Let's see. What was his exact? What was that stat line from last season? I mean, pretty great in the first 7 games.
Seven games. He had 39 total tackles, 24 solo tackles, 1 for a loss, 2 interceptions, 4 pass breakups.
I don't think there's much more you can ask for. I think the biggest concern is just if he is fully healthy again. Now, I don't know exactly the extent of that foot injury. Seems like he's all good to go from everything we've seen in camp so far. So we just kind of have to, you know, I think if he's healthy, he will do, you know, continue to build on what he started with last year and probably put together him and Bray Hubbard be a very dynamic duo at that safety, at those safety roles, a pretty good two-headed monster back there. But, you know, his health is just going to be the big concern, I would imagine.
We talked a lot about Deontay Lawson's health, and we beat that horse into the ground by now. I am not as concerned as I am about Sab as I am with Lawson, but it is a concern.
Sure. I do think that, you know, luckily you've got a little bit more depth there than you do with the inside linebacker position, so... It's, you know, knock on wood, you know, God forbid if he does go down with an injury, I think you can fill that spot pretty well. You know, I have faith in the guys that are behind him. But, yeah, I am hoping that he is healthy for the whole year, obviously.
Yeah, that's where I'm at with him, is that if he's healthy, if he's back to where he was last year, I think he'll be better because if he's healthy. Because here's the difference to me. I think Malachi Moore got with it towards the end of the year, the back half of the year. But I think Malachi, I don't want to say was going rogue in the first 6 weeks because that's too far. But I think Malachi felt a lot of pressure to make plays And I wonder about the discipline on the back end as far as both guys being in the right spots, covering the right guys, or is somebody jumping routes? Is somebody, you know, filling the wrong gaps or filling gaps because they don't trust what's happening up front? I mean, it's both. It's a symbiotic relationship.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bit tough, I imagine, especially if you're Malachi Moore coming from the situation like where he's been in one system for so long.
Exactly.
In comes this brand new system, and I'm sure that it was a little tough to trust it at first, especially because, hey, man, this guy's from South Alabama. I don't know, whatever, you know. There was reason for him specifically to maybe have a little bit of an issue trusting it at first. But like you said, he did, I think we saw it, get with it a little bit towards the back half of the year. And I would imagine Keon Sabb has been with it this whole time.
Right. And when you're playing safety, you got to, you know, trust your duo here. Mm-hmm. And if one guy is jumping out of position in the effort to make plays, not to be a jackass, but to make plays, then the other safety's like, oh, what do I got to do? How do I got to fill and cover? And I just think the trust factor on the back end of the unit is going to be a lot higher. And so if Keon's healthy, I think he's going to have a better year. Maybe won't be making as many plays on the football as he did in those first couple of weeks. And man, he did make a lot of plays on the football.
He was ball hawk.
Yeah, but I think that he's going to fit into the system better and be that kind of back end plug. Like, oh, yeah. Everything else is here. Oh, and there's my obvious gap that I'm plugging in.
Yeah, I mean, it reminds me of like, you know, the basketball, like, kind of defensive fitting drill where you're moving the ball around, you're swinging it around, and like you just feel it. Everybody moves up, you got to fill that spice. You know, one guy steps up, you got to fill his spot. And I think, kind of like you said, Malachi Moore, maybe for the first half of last year, struggled a little bit to understand that role of, okay, this guy moves, I need to fill that here rather than go kind of do my own thing. But hopefully, with another year of this defense, everybody feels a little more comfortable doing that.
Spin the wheel, it lands. Oh, this is a weird one, Mason. It's going to land on Danny Lewis Jr., tight end.
Oh, man, that is a weird one.
The tight end room is just strange. Danny Lewis played in 13 games last year, mm-hmm. played in 14 in 2023, played in 5 in 2022. So he's got experience. What's that? 14 and 13 is 27, plus 5 is 32 games. 32 games over 3 years. And he's got what?
One catch. Okay.
One reception for 5 yards. And a 14-yard kickoff return.
It's just very strange because this was a player that I kind of expected to be a dynamic kind of tight end that can stretch the field a little bit and be that receiving threat. And we've just never really seen it come together. I think, you know, unfortunately for him, he's kind of been buried on the depth chart by just way of seniority with the guys ahead of him. And maybe this year is his first year to finally get his opportunity, and he will shine with it. But it's hard to project. I like what you have size-wise. I mean, 6'5", 250, the guy's going to be an absolute unit out there. That's a tank of a human. So I think he can do it all for you, whether it's you're asking him to get out there and lay down a block or you're asking him to, you know, get a crucial third down reception somewhere. But I don't know that he is necessarily the guy that I maybe thought he was going to be when he came in, being that kind of more vertical, stretch the field kind of tight end. I think you may be getting that elsewhere. I think Danny Lewis will probably just kind of fall into the same role that we've seen the last couple tight ends fall into of just, you know, a good solid guy, but not really going to be a game changer one way or the other.
Didn't he go in the transfer portal in December for like 3 days? I think he did. I'm pretty sure he went to the transfer portal for like a day and a half.
That's what it looks like.
And then came back. And so that tells me a mixture of two different things, Mason.
Yeah.
Because you nailed it, that he's got the prototypical size, and he was always supposed to be a quality player, a quality receiver, the next kind of the next kind of Irv Smith type.
That's always what I kind of envisioned him as, you know, a more athletic, leaning towards the receiver end of the tight end spectrum.
Right, right. And but he just hasn't got that chance, or he hasn't broken out. And obviously you needed the blocking and the ability from CJ Dupree and Robbie Utes last year. But he goes in the portal and comes back, tells me that the coaching staff is like, no, we've got a role for you. We have a place for you. Well, my man gets hurt in the spring or is still hurt from the fall, one or the other. I'm not exactly sure, but didn't participate in the spring. He was one of the many tight ends who, you know, we were down to just Jay Lindsey playing tight end. And Jay and they said this week that Jay even got hurt at the end of spring practice. So they only had William Sanders. They converted William from tight end or from tackle to Williams to tight end for just a little bit of time to get through that period. Well, they're all healthy now. It's Cuevas, it's Danny Lewis, you got Caleb Edwards, you got Samarco, you got Brody Dalton, all right there. You got your man Marshall Pritchett. Like, your tight end room is now full, and Ryan Grubb basically joked about it yesterday. I mean, he was there spring practice. He goes, man, we got more tight ends than we know what to do with now. And so it's like, this is your chance, Danny. This is your chance to actually carve out a receiving role, and I'm just not quite sure what to make of him. I've never really been impressed with his physicality from a blocking standpoint. And you haven't really seen, not to say that he can't, but you haven't really seen him be a receiving tight end. Sure. And so, like, you look at the rest of the receiving options, you've got a bit, like, the wide receiver room is leaping gold. It's just dripping with talent. One through five, six, seven is just dripping with talent. And so it's like, what are you really going to ask these tight ends to do? Is it just going to be a, can you stand 4 yards over the ball and look at Ty Simpson going, hey, you know, the check down machine, maybe.
You get pretty rich doing that.
Yes, you could. So I'm not really sure what to expect out of Danny Lewis, but I'll just say it that I don't have a whole lot of I don't have any expectation for him to be a large contributor. And if he is a contributor on the offense, I'll be like, huh, didn't see that.
I think that's kind of where I'm at. I'm expecting Cuevas to be your leader tight end, your main, you know, kind of impact guy at the tight end position. But if, you know, like you said, there's a reason that they got Danny Lewis to come back. They obviously whether it was some sort of NIL thing, whether it was, hey, we have this specific role for you, or we know exactly what we want to do with you this year now that there's an opening, or whatever it was. You know, hopefully he gets his opportunities when they have them for him. I just don't know exactly how many there's going to be.
Let's keep
going. I mean, he does kind of, you know, looking at the room though, it's really him and Caleb Edwards as your two supposed receiving tight ends. A lot of these other guys are really kind of, I mean, Cuevas is a decent receiver, but, you know, Brody Dalton's a blocker. Jack Samarco's a blocker. Marshall Pritchett is more a blocker than a receiver. Don't know a ton about Peter Knudsen. Don't think he's going to be super involved, but I mean, you know, it's, so if they are looking to have a receiving tight end that is going to be kind of streaking down the field on certain in certain situations, like, Danny Lewis kind of has to be your option this year, and this is the best opportunity he has to take that role. So, you know, maybe that's the role he ends up taking, where, you know, specialty packages, and we're sitting here and he's only got 15, 20 catches at the end of the year, but almost all of them have been for 15 or 20 yards.
Yeah, so we'll see what Danny Lewis can do. I just don't really have, like, he could be a 25 receptions for 275 yards and 4 touchdowns, yeah. But I just don't see what did Cuevas actually have last year, Josh? Cuevas stats. What did he actually have? Because I just made that up. Cuevas had 16 receptions for 218 yards and 1 touchdown. And, like,
I don't see the tight ends getting much more involved.
Yeah, he could have 20 receptions for 230 yards and two touchdowns, but I'm not sure that I'd really be banking on it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's spin this wheel and see who we land on. here's an interesting name. How about redshirt senior, 5'9", 216-pound running back, Drelon Washington. Dre Washington, transfer from Louisiana, rushed for 73 carries last year for 478 yards and 5 touchdowns. Also had 6 catches for 107 yards and another touchdown in 11 games for the Louisiana. Are they still the Raging Cajuns? Yes, they are. Transfers into Alabama into a crowded running back room. What do you think about old Dre Washington?
I mean, you kind of said it right there. Transfers into Alabama into a crowded running back room. I am still to this day just a little perplexed by it. I think that, you know, given the amount of youth that you have in the running back room, maybe it makes sense that you just wanted to go get a guy who has kind of seen the ropes and he knows how college football goes and everything. So I get it from that standpoint, but I just don't – I still don't really know exactly how much he's going to be involved this year. Jam Miller is probably your number one guy to start the season. But after him, I mean, it is, you know, Daniel Hill, Richard Young, A.K. Deere. Like, so many of these guys are really, really solid players that are going to be pushing for playing time. And I just don't really know what Dre Washington's role is. You know, I have to assume they brought him here for something, but I just don't know what it was outside of, you know, we need a little more veteran presence in the running back room.
You need length and girth in this league.
But 5'9", 215, you know, that's not really getting you that.
Not a lot of length, but there's some girth.
If we were 6'1", 235, we'd be having a different conversation.
There's some girth right there. Mason, yesterday when we were waiting on Ryan Grubb to come in, actually in between Ryan Grubb and we had Jeremy Bernard and Parker Brailsford come chat with us. And you guys can see that on the Bama Central YouTube channel. If you're looking for any of these press conferences, for practice clips, practice videos, you can see that on the Bama Central YouTube channel. We don't just do this silly talk show. We had Ryan Grubb, and then I had our partners Will Miller and Hunter DeCiver go over to each of the players. And I did stand in the Parker Brailsford scrum, but I stood behind it just because those guys were filming. They were front and center, and I was just listening. I didn't really have any questions for Parker. But as I was standing there, my eyes were wandering inside the Hank Crisp indoor facility. My eyes were wandering and looking around, and there was some activity going on. And in the far end zone, Dre Washington, Jam Miller, and I don't have his number here, but Control F 27. Who is? That's going to give me all the 327. Yeah, is it Walter Sansing?
27.
It's a walk on.
Michael Lorino the third.
Yes. It's a walk on. So I'm sorry, Michael. I didn't have your name handy. We're in
Mountain Brook. The main streets of Mountain Brook.
That's right. Watch out. Be careful. They were in the end zone basically running through, how do you describe it? Starts, essentially. One of the running backs was 5 yards off, and one of the running backs was standing there kind of as a tackle, as a defensive tackle, and then the third running back was kind of where you would have a linebacker, and they were kind of just simulating getting started out of the backfield. Mm-hmm. And obviously no tackles, no yeah. – no defense, no actual offensive linemen to work themselves through. But Dre Washington, I'll tell you this, there ain't no way I would have been able to tackle him as a kid, as a high schooler or as a college athlete, if I were a college athlete. He was shifty, very shifty. Now, obviously, you're dancing against air, so come on, take that with a big grain of salt. But I was impressed by, his shoulders are very deceptive. Oh, his hips are very deceptive. He was bouncing, you know, between the backfield, trying to like simulate some sort of you know, simulate some running back moves, and then explode through the line of scrimmage of where they were. And once he was exploding, it was, oh, he's got that gear where it's a foot in the ground, boom. Do I think he's going to overtake Jam Miller? I don't. Do I think that he's going to supplant Richard Young? Maybe. I think he will have a role. Ryan Grubb talked about him being one of the fastest players. It was either Ryan or Kalen talked about him being one of the faster players on the team so far. And maybe
that's why he was brought in. You know, you just needed that extra jolt of speed in the running back room, because I think a lot of the guys you have are maybe a bit more power oriented.
Yeah, it was Grubb yesterday. So I've got his quotes. Ryan Grubb, everything Ryan Grubb said right there. And let's type in running back, because yeah, good running Lord. Back on the running backs. Jam's a smart player. Richards that kind of guy. He's a Daniel is your bigger back downhill. Richards
6'1", 244, by the way,
for Daniel.
That's what he is listed at. Huge running back,
Daniel Mountain.
We got the bus back there.
Right,
golly, Daniel. I did not realize he was quite that big. I mean, I knew he was the big back, but man, I mean, that's you know, not in height, but in girth, and that's Derrick Henry numbers.
Daniel Mountain, baby, and then his comment. Dre Washington is a guy who really showed up the first few days. I was really impressed with his vision. I think the big thing, they all have their style and running. They're all really good. I think here's your kicker quote. I think the pass protection, the consistency, and understanding their rules and things like that, I think everybody's playing catch up to Jam. But I think there's hope, really, for – I think there's hope, really, for Dre Washington to be that change of pace, speed back, out of the backfield, catches some screens. And really, look, you need it. A lot of running backs. They said, they said that all these running backs were dinged up at different points last year. I think that I don't want to shout out a bad number here. 2024 Alabama stats. Let's look at the rushing numbers from last year. Now the rushing numbers are so damn skewed because of Jalen Milroe.
You couldn't really have we've talked about it a lot. You did not have a traditional run game last year.
No, yeah, they're so skewed. Richard Young only took 27 carries last year, man. That's nuts. As the third running back, carries. So I do like Dre Washington, and I think that he will carve a role on this offense. He's not going to be the featured back. I don't think that. But I do think your third and sevens, either if you're passing the football and you need him to leak out of the backfield, there you go. If you need your running back to pass protect, you're probably leaving Jam Miller in. That might be a little bit of a tell that we look for early in the season, Mason, what Alabama's doing on third and long, or if they're leaving Jam in and the running back's blocking, mm-hmm. or if they're putting Dre Washington in and he's going out on a route. I think he has potential to have a moderate role on the offense.
Looking at what he did at Louisiana, like, he averaged over 5 yards a carry every in the three seasons he played. He wasn't the feature guy there ever at all. He only had 350, 500 yards, 470 yards. But again, he averaged over 5 yards a carry. So there's something there. And I think this coaching staff saw it a little bit.
All right, let's spin this wheel two more times, because this has been a fun game. We're playing upperclassmen roulette as the Alabama football team is taking an off day from fall camp. We'll be back with fall camp coverage on Monday. Mason Woods and Theo Fernandez are both going out to camp Saturday and Sunday, and so it's going to be a big, big weekend of Alabama football news. We'll keep going here with two more spins. Ooh, I like this spin. This spin lands on the oldest player on the roster. We can't do upperclassmen roulette without talking about Pickens County Tornado, Jamarian Latham. Jamarian Latham has been on this roster since 2020. 2020, the only player with a
right? The only one on the roster? Yeah, man, oh man.
What you think about old Jamarian Latham, what he might look like this year, where his role is on this team?
I mean, I think he's going to have a big role. I think he's going to, we're going to see him on the field a whole lot. How statistically impactful he will be, I think will determine a lot of things about his future. He is a guy who really has, you know, throughout the last 2 years, because I mean, the first two, he played in 12 games in 2022, wasn't super impactful, but 2023 and 24, you know, probably your most impactful years. But even then, you know, you've only got 2.5 sacks in that time. He just needs to be able to convert some of the pressure that he gets into sacks. That's kind of been the issue that we've talked about with him. I don't remember what the exact number was. I know I had looked it up a few weeks ago for when we were talking about him, but had a lot of pressures in 2023 and 24, but did not have the sacks or tackles for loss to match them. So I think it's just about, I don't know what exactly it is that, you know, I don't know if he's just a step too late and he needs to work. He's had to work on his quickness a bit or what it is, but he just has to figure out how to convert the pressures into sacks and tackles for loss, because at the end of the day, that's what is really going to be the difference maker. Pressure is great and it, you know, puts stress on an offense, but good offenses can work through that no problem. You got to get those sacks. You have to convert them to tackles.
Yeah, I think that he presents a very interesting case here going into his sixth year. I think that he's a local guy, so I don't want to be too
hard. I love him, but I want him to succeed so much.
And right. But I don't
personally
know
I love Pickens County, like especially.
Tornado. Go see a game at Pickens County if you'll
have the most fun you've ever had watching a high school football game.
Take cash, because the concession stands was cash only, but that's some of the best. They would do barbecue sandwiches. They had great concessions. And the football is it's 1A football, but it's high-level 1A football. And those fellas are playing both ways. And Michael Williams, former Alabama tight end, is coaching them up. And so they play good football at Pickens County. I really like going out to the Pickens County Tornadoes. And I will be back doing the WVUA Friday Night Football this season on the weeks that I am in town. There's a couple of weeks where I'll be out of town. But I'll be back if you're looking for high school football coverage on WVUA's Friday Night Football with Gary Harris. And so hopefully there will be some Pickens County games on his schedule. With that being said, I wonder if Jamarian Latham has found his ceiling as a football player. And because, you know, and that's not a bad thing. Look, the NFL is not for long. And really, very, 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 very few players are NFL players. I think that Jamarian Latham is a very solid second Wolf. And maybe Yanzi Pierre can jump over him, can you know, use his physical tools to jump over him this year. But I think he's a solid second Wolf, and I think he is fourth Bandit. You know, he's in that tweener range where he's probably too big to be a real Wolf at 62, 280, somewhere in that range, but he's not quite big enough to play Bandit. And so you got LT Overton playing Bandit, and I think you're going to see Jordan Renaud, and I think you're going to end up seeing Keon Keeley get after it right there, Kelby Collins get after it right there. And so your Bandit room is getting full. And getting full with a lot of talent, which is, you know, a good thing for the Crimson Tide, a bad thing for Jamarian Latham. Your Wolf room is not as full. And the talent is, I like Quay Russo a lot. And I like the physical tools that Yanzi Pierre has. You haven't quite seen Yanzi put it together in a larger role. I think that Jamarian provides you a player this year that is, hey, man, if some of these guys go down, it's a what's the baseball stat? War wins above replacement.
Yeah,
I think Jamarian Latham is a replacement level player, and that sounds mean. But look, you need.
Hey, it's a dang hard thing to be a replacement level player at Alabama in the highest level of college football. You know, that's
you need depth in this league. Somebody's gonna get a knock, hurt.
Inevitably, will happen.
Right, and so you need to play. I mean, you can't go out and. I mean, We all want the five stars, but you can't go out and have five stars every position, especially in this day and age of NIL. You sure. need these replacement level players that can fill a role for you. And you say, well, you look at Alabama's defense if Jamarion Latham's playing Wolf and say, that's not so bad.
Yeah.
You know, you look at him and think, well, we can really attack that edge. No, I don't know that you could really attack that edge when Jamarion's out there. But I also don't think that if you are going into a game plan and Jamarion is your starter, the opposing offense is like, man, we got to figure out where he's at on the team. We got to make sure that we're keeping up with number 20. We got to slide to number 20's way and double him up.
Not a liability, but not a world beater either.
Exactly. That's exactly what I'm trying to get at. So I'm happy that he's back for another year. Use all the eligibility that you got, I guess, if you can. He's shown great loyalty.
I hope he's getting some good NIL checks. Hope that he's getting some good rev share checks. Don't know. This may be his peak as a player.
So we'll see what Jamarion Latham has, and you need quality backups. I think he is a quality second or third Wolf, and I think he's a quality second or third Bandit. I got one more spin in me, Mason, and I know you got players you're dying to talk about. Hopefully, it'll hit one of them. Oh, yes, Mason Woods. Why don't we use the last spin and talk about Damani Jackson?
Love that. Oh, man, this is, in my opinion, the best cornerback in the nation. I think he has proven to be that in the time at Alabama. I don't have the exact, detailed statistics in front of me, but you can go find them on PFF and, say what you will about PFF, but I think they do a decent job of tracking stats that a lot of people don't. And as far as, coverage statistics go, that guy is locked down. I mean, put him on an island, he's locking anybody up. He doesn't necessarily have the stats to match because people are scared to throw at him. It's kind of this is the issue that really good cornerbacks have a lot of times is, nobody really notices them because nobody wants to throw at them. So they're not making the flashy plays, but he is that kind of guy. He is that kind of lockdown cornerback. I think he will solidify himself by the end of the season as one of the top cornerbacks in the nation and probably be a highly touted draft pick, I would imagine. I'm expecting very big things from Damani this year. I was super high on him coming in from USC. I thought he was fantastic last year. I expect him to take an even bigger step this season.
Yeah, I've been surprised that Damani has not been –
no love for him nationally.
Right. You look at the third team defensive backs, all SEC defensive backs, and he's not even there. You got Keon and Bray Hubbard there, and I see this right now, and as I'm re-looking it up, you see Boo Carter from Tennessee. Boo Carter,
have they given him his helmet yet? I saw that he was practicing, but he was the only player that didn't have a helmet on. Has he earned his helmet yet?
Oh, man. Well, I feel bad for, taking a big old dump on him because he's from Chattanooga. but let me tell you what happened in Chattanooga, Mason. I think he's a three high schools in 4 years guy, maybe four high schools in 4 years.
That's never a great sign. Look, you're free to do what you want to do with your own, with what you feel is the best for your football career. But those kinds of things are glaring when college teams come looking at you and when the NFL eventually comes calling. They notice those types of things.
Yeah, so, you're seeing him get onto the field with Tennessee. And look, I wish you the best of luck, young man. But we're talking about Damani Jackson. And Damani, I've been surprised at the lack of love for him. I don't know if it's a size issue.
6'1", 200 pounds, 190, whatever you want to say.
You're right there in the cornerback, right there in all the ranges for a cornerback.
Really long arms.
I do think he played really well last season. I've just been surprised that he hasn't gotten as much love. And I'm with you. I think that the season that he will have is good enough. It will be good enough to make him a first two-round draft pick. I don't know if he's going to get up into that first round because there's only 32 picks, but I do think, and I think there's going to be a lot of dang quarterbacks taken in that first round. quarterbacks, not cornerbacks. But I think Damani is a really, really underrated piece of this Alabama defense. And so I'm really excited to see what he does this year. I'm hopeful that, hey man, you're there on Saturday. They might throw you guys Damani. They really might. And you should go right up to him. He has been a little bit of a tough interview in those scrums, but not in like a screw the media type way, but in you better ask him a good question or he'll be like, well, I didn't cover that guy last year. yeah, things like that. Damani, what's it like going up against this team that Alabama faced last year? Well, I wasn't here last year, so I don't know. That kind of thing. Not that he's mean or rude, but it's just like, it's pretty straightforward. And I think he's all about ball. And so I think that he is going to have a solid year this year. What, he have two interceptions last season? The interception numbers aren't exactly where you wanted them last
year. No one throws at him. They're scared to throw his way. How many interceptions did Pat Surtain have last year? let's see.
When you can choose to throw it at freshmen, when I can choose, like last year in a vacuum under the microscope, if I can choose to throw it, freshman Xavien Brown or freshman Jalen Mbakwe, like, it's pretty obvious that who I'm going to be throwing the football at. Bray Hubbard hasn't hit the field yet. I'm throwing at him. We're avoiding number one. We're trying to throw away. I mean, he locked down Luther Burden when Luther Burden came to town, and I'm all I'm smoking that Luther Burden pack right now as he's tearing up Chicago Bears football camp.
I see the stat that I was seeing going around Twitter of Ben Johnson and his wide receiver threes or something like that. It was something that made me really want to draft Luther Burden on my fantasy team. I'll say that.
And apparently Ben Johnson is getting in Luther Burden's rear end daily. And wow.
All right, Hugh Freeze.
You need length and girth in this league.
Hello.
So I'm really excited about Damani Jackson. I think he's gonna have.
I'm looking at two separate scouting reports for Damani Jackson, and I don't know who these are. One of them is just from Bleacher Report scouting department. So for all I know, it could be written by AI. But this one has him as a third round pick, and the other one I'm looking at has him as a fourth round pick. I'm very confused on. And I really don't think that I'm just being a homer here. I really think that he is this good of a player. I don't understand why he's not getting the love that we are giving him.
Very strange. No love in the NFL scouting department.
Yeah.
Well, Mason, I think we've run out of our time today. Anything else you've got on your plate?
I do have to say, I did misspeak. Pat Surtain had four picks last year. He had one pick six. I looked at that stat line a little. But regardless, Damani Jackson does not get interceptions because they are scared to throw his way and not because he is not good at playing cornerback.
And Xavien Brown had a good little year. We're not talking underclassmen today, but had a good enough year for a freshman that – If I'm a quarterback next season,
you got a tough call to make. You got a tough call to make, buddy.
Who am I throwing at in this secondary? Am I throwing at Bray Hubbard? Am I throwing at Keon? Am I throwing? Who the hell? Who am I throwing at? I think I'm picking whoever's.
You're picking on these linebackers.
Yes. You're like,
it's going to be nothing but 5 and 6 yard completions against this defense.
Do I have a tight end or a running back who gets a good matchup against a linebacker? That's probably my option number one. Absolutely. Mason, let's get out of here for the day. You got to rest up. You're going to be on the practice field early tomorrow. Put your sunscreen on, get your hat, get you some sunglasses. They'll burn you up out there, but it'll be a lot of fun. Make sure you follow Mason Woods at MAWoods_ on the Twitter machine because he's going to be tweeting out practice clips or two. Hunter DeCiver as well at Hunter DeCiver and Real WB Miller on the Twitter machine will all be at practice for us on Saturday. On Sunday, it'll be Will and Hunter, and it'll be our man Theo Fernandez. So you can follow Theo Fernandez _ on the Twitter machine. And Monday, Katie Windham is back from all her summer forays. And so you'll be able to find her coverage on Monday, and I will be back at practice on Tuesday. Now, we will still have a Monday episode. It'll just still be a little bit remote. Me and Theo and myself, I will grill Theo about what happened at practice, and I will ask him if he did his homework. Mason, do you think that he watched Billy Madison over the course of 7 days?
That's a pretty big window, you know, and I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. I'm going to say he did. I think he did.
All right, so we await a Billy Madison film review as well as football practice report from Theo Fernandez on Monday. We cannot wait to see it. We cannot wait to do it over the weekend. We hope you all have a great day and join us on Monday on the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central and BamaCentral.com.
And Tua Tagovailoa, the quarterback who is he's been fantastic.
Thanks for joining us on today's edition of the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central. Keep up with Joe on all his social media pages at JoeGaither6. Subscribe, rate, and review the show on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and be sure to read us daily at BamaCentral.com.
You can have it all. Great pay, awesome benefits, a flexible schedule, the chance to grow. At Cox, we're recruiting auto and diesel technicians to join our Manheim and Fleet Services teams. If you're ready for a new job and want to experience an award-winning workplace, drive your career forward with us. Visit cox.career/autotech to learn more. That's cox.career/autotech.